Last week looked like there could be a lot of upheaval in the high school basketball world. Turned out there was just a little bit on the upper level. Things pretty much went as expected. The teams that had dominated continued dominating, won their games. The only little surprise came on a lower level where Cheyenne knocked off Desert Pines. We're going to talk about that today on Prep Sports Now. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Jesse Granger and Ray Brewer. And we're presented to you by Wingstop, the wing experts. Open at several Las Vegas locations until midnight. Granger, we'll go to you first because you were at the big game last week, Clark and Bishop Gorman. Gorman hits their shots, an offensive explosion there to stay on top of the state. I think they have to be your number one team right now after they get a seven-point victory at Clark.
Yeah, they are. They showed up to play. Like I said in the last podcast, they're a little more vulnerable because they don't have the inside presence. They have to hit their shots. But against Clark, the biggest game of the year, they did hit their shots, especially Chuck O'Bannon Jr., who had 4 of 5 three-pointers in the fourth quarter and a couple in the third quarter. He really came alive in the second half for them. And Clark played well, but they couldn't hit their free throws. I think they were 10 of 21 from the free throw line, and they only hit one three-pointer the whole night, and Gorman just outshot them from the outside.
Which is, A, you know, Clark had a bad shooting night, but B, how much of that was just Gorman's defense putting them in uncomfortable situations?
Outstanding defense from all the Gorman players. They really, really pressured Clark. Clark was able to get past the press a little better in the second half, but they pressed in the first half, forced turnovers, and then even in the half court, especially O'Bannon, which really impressed me. The on-ball defense was great, and like you said, they had a lot to do with Clark having a bad shooting night.
Yeah, and then Clark comes back. They have another tough game that week a couple nights later, I think at Canyon Springs. They won by like 17, so they took care of business, weren't down. And I think that's what I was kind of getting at, is that we didn't see some of the upsets. Maybe there were opportunities from Clark had no hangover. They went and won. And Coronado, I believe, had a couple league games, including against Basic, who looked like they could give them trouble and had no trouble. So the dominoes kind of fell the way you might have expected, I guess, if you weren't looking at these teams closely and just going on kind of reputation alone.
Yeah, and that's no fun, right, when the favorites all win. It's like the NFL playoffs, right?
But I mentioned on the top, I mean, that's just the upper level. I think you were pretty surprised to hear Cheyenne knocked off Desert Pines, who we were ready to just gift the Division 1A state championship. Speaking of not shooting well, I don't think Desert Pines made many shots. Cheyenne forced them into some bad offense. The Desert Shields, are they in you guys' mind a team that's going to have to be reckoned with down there on the lower level?
Just by one win, you have to give them you have to give them props, and it just shows you how the 1A, no matter what sport, is always fun. You want to anoint teams like we did with Desert Pines last year, you know, the team to beat, and it's the result on the court with Clark out and now in the higher league. There's a lot of teams, including Virgin Valley, who lost to Shap, but they've been playing well, who have a chance to run the table. And that's always neat when you get a team that you don't expect at the state tournament.
I think, like you said, with Clark gone, I think these teams have a little more hope than they have in the past seasons, and it'll make it a little more fun. These teams know they're not just playing for second place. They actually, like, there's three or four teams that actually have a shot at winning state with Clark now at the upper level.
Yeah, that was a big that was a big win for Cheyenne to separate themselves. But, you know, if you're going to talk about separating yourself, I think the team you have to look at was Chaparral, goes to Virgin Valley, not an easy trip, wins in overtime. I mean, if you're ranking teams, they got to be up in the top five, certainly, maybe even two or three on the lower level. This kid Jonathan Tyndale scoring like 25 points per game, tearing it up. Brewer, I know you were high on your alma mater going into the season. They were at our media day, kind of a fringe top 10 team, and certainly seems like they've lived up to expectations under Coach Bentz over there.
Yeah, Shap's a team that has some pieces, but with that said, they need to play good every night. They can't afford to take a night off. They have to get the most out of everybody. I think Porras is the main kid over there on every night.
To me, I think that one of Chaparral's most impressive performances, at least box score-wise, that I saw was a loss to Foothill, where they really hung in there and gave Foothill a run for their money, and obviously Foothill's one of the better 4A schools, so for them to hang with them really proves that they're one of the better schools out there.
I am super intrigued this week, guys. Coronado, Foothill, at Foothill Wednesday night. Coleman, Rockamore, do they have enough to keep up with Coronado, who for the last 3 years has kind of been the top dog in the Southeast, the defending Sunrise champions from last season, and for all intents and purposes should win this game. I wouldn't say comfortably or by double digits, but they should. They're probably 8 to 10 points better.
It's going to be good. Foothill's played a ton of games with a bunch of out-of-state tournaments with California teams, and they've played really well. 15-3, one of the best records in the state through this many games. And Coronado has played really tough competition too. And he talked about it before the season how tough that schedule is going to be, and maybe that makes them better, but. They probably aren't as confident as they would be at this point if they hadn't, because they've taken what, 6 losses? I think they're 6-6. So maybe Foothill has a lot of confidence and can catch Coronado.
Yeah, Coronado's a cocky group though. They're cocky as could be. When I sent you the picks, did I include that game?
You did not. You forgot about that. But I think they're certainly cocky because now they've. I remember when we first started following basketball a little bit more, doing the podcast, going to some games. It felt like. These teams were back and forth. You never knew who was going to win.
They had that great game at Cox that year. Do you remember that, as the opener of
the Gorman-Finley game. But now Coronado's beat them, like, I haven't added it up exactly, but I don't think Foothill's beaten them in, like, 3 years. Coronado swept them almost every season. So you want to talk about being cocky and being confident. There's something behind that. I think if you beat your kind of arch rival in basketball 6 straight times or whatever it's been.
Yeah, Coronado's got 4 games this week. Green Valley tonight, Foothill on Wednesday, and then they go into California for a double pack over the weekend. Obviously, it's a 3-day holiday weekend, but you have to ask yourself with Coronado, this for me is the most important game of the week, right? I mean, Foothill is the only team that appears like he could challenge you for that Southeast title, number one playoff seed. You got to win on Wednesday. So, to me, one of the most important games of the week, if not the most important game of the week. Two teams, rivals, located close to each other. Should be a great environment over at Foothill. Looking forward to this one Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think probably is the game of the week. There are some other competitive ones. A lot in Henderson. I think that same night you have Basic, Green Valley, Silverado, Liberty. We'll get to all those picks, and we'll add Foothill Coronado, even though you tried to leave them out. Also, I looked it up. It's only 4 in a row for Coronado over Foothill. They haven't lost to them since the 2013-2014 season, I believe. So it's been a while, but Coronado holding over them there. Before we get to the picks, though, as we do every week, we need to anoint the Wingstop Player of the Week. Coaches, please get at us and nominate people. It's a good deal. You get a story, a $50 Wingstop gift card, a certificate, all kinds of good stuff. And we're going to let Granger do the honors of letting us know. We're switching between male and female every week, so we have a female player of the week from Wingstop this week.
Yep, this week comes from Tech High, and her name is Taylor Mwakiel.
Say that 93 times as fast as you can.
It's a tough name. I think it's Mwakiel. She, as a sophomore, she's only 5'4". She's a smaller guard, but she's been scoring about 20 points a game for them over the last 2 weeks or so. The big game was against Del Sol last week, where she scored 19 points and Del Sol scored 13 points. So she beat Del Sol by 6 by herself. Her team won 47-13, and she scored 19 of the points. So,
which is pretty cool because Tech used to be Votech. Now I don't know if they call it Tech or Secta, but whatever it is. But this is a school with very few playoff appearances, and they've been around since I was a kid. So the fact that this one girl has them, you know, in contention to have a playoff game is pretty neat.
In averaging 20 points, I mean, that's nothing to scoff at, even if it's just a week or whatever. I mean, the scoring is obviously a little bit lower in girls. So, you know, 20 for a guy to average is great. In girls basketball, I think it's even better.
And her brother Tyler plays for the men's team, and he's kind of got them fighting for a playoff spot also, which, like Ray said, they don't get to do that much.
There you go. Wingstop family of the week in this
twins.
Case.
Tyler and Taylor.
Tyler and Taylor twins.
What
I like
would you
it.
Name your twins?
I would Jesse. Never have twins. Orchids.
Jesse and Jesse J E S S E and J E S S I E.
I don't think you could just declare I will never have twins. It might just kind of happen. I guess triplets are still in the running.
I think Granger's saying that he isn't too eager to be a father.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's too bad. I was hoping for some little Grangers to star for Tech. Or what school district do you live in?
Valley.
There we go. They could use the help. They're kind of struggling this year. That was one of the games. Nice segue into the picks here. Brewer and I disagreed on last week. I had Rancho. He had Valley. Rancho only won by about 25.
My guy, the former player of the week, Justin Holiday.
Last week's player of the week.
Yeah, he had 30-some, I think, against Valley. Get 30-some against Sierra Vista. The book on him, though, he's played absolutely no defense.
Really?
Yeah. Seems like he'd fit in well.
Did he tell you this when you interviewed him? Like, I score a lot, but I don't play defense?
No, the coach was like, yeah, he, you know, if he buys in defensively and rebounding.
When you score 30 for Rancho, you don't have to play defense.
Yeah.
Something to strive for Justin Holiday the rest of the way. And Rancho in the first game of the picks this week on Tuesday. They're going to Vegas, a game that I think a couple weeks ago you just would have chalked up, like Marquise Raybon and the Wildcats are going to blow them out. But Rancho has improved so much. You've got to have at least a little bit of pause here trying to figure out who to pick.
Yeah, Chris Jackson, Justin Holiday for Rancho are scoring. And this is gonna be a good one. I thought the Wildcats, it was clear cut, would be either one or two in the Northeast behind Canyon, or along with Canyon. But now this is a pretty big game for home playoff advantage. I take the Wildcats, but it'll be close.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go with Vegas also. But they've taken some tough losses. Pretty much any time they've played a top team this year, they've lost. They've beaten the teams they're supposed to, and any time they've had a big matchup, they've lost it. I don't think Rancho's one of those games, but they haven't showed up in big spots, so maybe Rancho could catch them, but I'm picking Vegas.
Sweep it. I'm confused. I don't know what Brewer's doing over here.
Yeah.
Trying to get me to look at something. But, Vegas all the way. I think Rancho's gotten way better, but I don't know if they're quite on Vegas' level yet. We're going to stick in the same league, the Northeast. Valley at Canyon Springs.
We tried to get the 9 games this week, and I left one out. So.
All right, I've got Canyon Springs.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
Unless Valley shows up with its team from 5 years ago.
They might have to watch out so they don't send a letter if they beat them by 50 in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. That usually comes up more in the women's side than the men's, but I guess that applies to men's too. You can't beat them by 50. Canyon Springs off to a good start, 11-2. They also have Cheyenne this week, who might be a little bit tougher game than Valley, but I think they'll probably win both.
That's a cross, like close rivalry too, even though they're in different divisions. The schools are right next to each other.
Yeah, rivalry, and obviously Cheyenne coming off a good week last week. That one could be interesting later in the week. Spring Valley at Durango in Southwest Division action. Speaking of ones that have playoff implications, seems like these are kind of the two teams that are going to be fighting for that maybe bottom spot, along with Desert Oasis and Bonanza.
Yeah, the 3-4. Durango probably not as good as we thought they'd be at the beginning of the year, so they're going to need to turn it up a little bit, but I think they get by Spring Valley.
I agree. I think Durango, kind of like Coronado, you see their 6-6 record. Durango's 4-8.
But
four and six.
Yeah, they've played.
But I think it's – yeah, I think they're a lot better than their record shows. They've played Gorman. They've played Clark. They've played all these top teams. They're going to – that record will go up once they start playing the bottom teams, and I consider Spring Valley one of those.
Yeah, I actually wasn't – I agree with you guys, Durango. So far, no disagreement. I actually think, though, I'm slotting Sierra Vista into the 3 there. I think this is, like, for the 4 seed only. I think we got the hierarchy of Gorman, Clark, Sierra Vista right now. And could get disrupted, but I think Sierra Vista's already beaten Durango, if I'm not mistaken. Probably am. I'll look it up during this next pick. Silverado at Liberty. Like I said, Wednesday night, Henderson's the place to be if you like basketball. This is the first in a series of close games.
Yeah, I just think, I don't know. Silverado, to me, I like Liberty. Liberty.
I picked Liberty last week, and they let me down, but I'm going to pick them again this week.
Oh, you picked them against Green Valley?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, bro. Come on, bro.
It was a close game, right? They lost by, like, 3?
Yeah.
I like Liberty, so I'm going to go with them.
This is a tough one for me. You know, I think Silverado might be a little bit better than we've given them credit for. Liberty, I think, is still building a little bit. They've played okay in some of these games. I mean, the Green Valley game last week, we were saying it was going to be really close, but Green Valley won.
By 9.
Yeah, pretty easily. I feel like I'm trying too hard to talk myself into Silverado, though. God, I don't know what way to go here.
Look at something. Shat beating him by like 20.
Shat beat who?
Silverado.
Aren't you like undefeated in the picks case? Like, whoever you pick is going to win.
I am 18-0, so I don't think that's ever happened, by the way. 2 weeks undefeated. I don't care what sport it is. I'm going to go with Liberty. I just talked through it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could say, okay, Chaparral beat, looking it up, they beat Silverado by 16 to start the season. But Liberty doesn't have, I mean, they haven't looked great on a night-in, night-out basis either. I'm going to go Liberty in a close game, though. Basic at Green Valley.
That game, I like Green Valley. I'm not going to say why, but I have no reasoning other than I do.
All right.
I'm going against Ray on this one. I'll take Basic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Green Valley, we just kind of beat Liberty up for losing by 9, but that was a good performance by Green Valley to do that. Basic lost by 20 to Coronado.
They lost by 27 to Liberty. Not good.
All right, well, that might settle it for me. I'm going to go ahead and go with Brewer on this one to break the tie and take Green Valley. Maybe if it was at Basic, I'd take Basic, but I'm going to go with Green Valley. Legacy at Faith Lutheran.
Faith.
Faith. I think that's a pretty easy one.
All right, well, I'll go with you guys. You say it's that easy. I'll go Faith too. Faith, we wanted to see how they were going to adjust to moving up a division. It looks like they're probably the number 2 in the Northwest right now. Any of these other teams challenge them?
They had a close game with Cimarron last week.
Yeah, they won by 8, and they handled Shadow Ridge by like 26 points. I think they've played well in their out-of-state tournaments, and they've looked pretty dominant in state play so far.
All right, yeah, so Faith Lutheran in the driver's seat. Not that they couldn't be disruptive, but I'm going to go with them as well. The big game Wednesday night, Coronado going to Foothill. Can Coronado make it 5 straight wins against the Falcons? Or, you know, can Foothill pull off this upset, keep it close with Coronado, and beat them at the end?
I'm going to pick Coronado. I think the game's going to be close just because it's at Foothill. But I think Coronado's size with Kohler and the other big guy whose name I can't say or can't remember, I think is enough to get by Foothill.
Yep, that's actually the guy I was going to bring up, Will Weems, the transfer. Yeah.
Strong and big.
Yeah, the game I covered, he dominated Bishop Gorman inside. Foothill's nowhere near as good as Bishop Gorman. I think he pretty much does whatever he wants against Foothill. Like I said earlier, I think Foothill's in a better position coming into this game. They've played well. Coronado's played a really tough schedule and lost, but the Cougars are just too good and too big.
Yeah, I pretty much totally agree with you guys. I was going to reference the size as well. I think that's big. Yeah, Foothill's not as good as Gorman, but I think similar to Gorman, that if they're hitting their shots, they could be tough to beat. So I think that, you know, the route to victory is there for Foothill. If they hit a bunch of threes, if they're hot, which is certainly possible in their home building, I think they could beat Coronado, but I think that's a pretty big variable you'd have to be going with there to take Foothill. So I'm with you guys in Coronado. A lot of agreement so far. Only 2 more games. El Dorado at Valley.
I picked Valley. Both teams, I think Valley's got 3 wins and Eldo may have 1 win.
Yeah, El Dorado 1-11.
And this game is basically to determine who gets the last playoff seed to lose to Coronado in the playoffs, or Foothill, I guess. But I go with Valley.
Man, these teams are not good.
Yeah, I mean they're a work in progress. Green
Valley's team coming off a big 61-25 win over the Aussie Travelers from Australia, so I'm going to go with Valley.
The Aussie Travelers. Wow.
That changed. Yeah.
How'd they get them on the schedule? They just come through town
all
and try to find some
all
of them?
All the money that Valley's got brought them out.
Wow. I think this is a toss-up. And since it's a toss-up, El Dorado's lost some close games. I know Valley has too, but I'm going to go with the Sun Devils getting it together here.
They'll probably win. Case
and,
hasn't lost all year.
Beating Valley. I just think it's pretty close to 50-50, so I'll go with the Sun Devils. In the last game, another one of the better ones of the week, Clark at Vegas.
Clark. I mean, aside from Gorman, I don't think they lose again.
Clark by a lot. And I don't think they lose even to Gorman.
They're going to win at Gorman?
Well, playoff. Okay, that game won't matter as much.
Yeah,
I mean, in the playoffs
they beat them.
Well, yeah, if they beat Gorman when they play again, they're the number one seed.
What's the tiebreaker there?
Second game.
Oh, really?
Really?
Huh. That is a weird tiebreaker. I did not know that. Interesting. So that Clark at Gorman game even bigger when it's coming up, I believe, next month. Yeah, you guys make it sound simple, but I think it is. Vegas is really good. I think has a chance to challenge for that one seed in the Northeast with Canyon Springs, but I think Clark's at another level. I'm going to go with the Chargers. So not a lot of disagreement here. Thanks for listening. This has been Prep Sports Now. We'll be back to talk about high school basketball next week.